Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne. As we come before your presence, we honor you alone. So we lift up our voices as trumpets heralding you. You are the King of glory, so this is what we do. In humble adoration, Father, we bow before your throne. As we come before your presence, we honor you alone. So we lift up our voices as trumpets heralding you. You are the King of glory, so this is what we do. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. Oh, we worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. Father, how we love you today. And we worship you just because of who you are. Oh, I wish I had somebody to help me sing in humble adoration.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne.
Oh,
we come before your presence.
Father, we honor you.
We honor you alone.
So we lift up
our voices
as trumpets.
You are the King of glory.
So this is
wish everybody, well, first and foremost, hello, everybody. Greetings. Another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. And I want to wish everybody, those that celebrate, a happy Feast of Weeks Day, or Pentecost, as we call it. Some people celebrated today, or started today, I should say. And just want to just wish those Israelites out there that are trying to keep the Most High laws as the Holy Spirit guide us as to which laws to keep, because as we know, a lot of those laws in the Old Testament is totally irrelevant to our society today. Christ have come and died and have been the sacrificial lamb, so we no longer offer up sacrifices. But those of us that are trying to keep those laws, again, happy Feast of Weeks Day, or happy Pentecost, okay? Hopefully y'all use that time to lift up the Most High in every way you can. But you know my belief, you know where I'm going with this. Every day should be this to us. We should every day reference the Most High. I can't see one day over any other day. Can't explain it. Wouldn't be able to do it in a court of law. So anyway, hello to everyone. Shalom, shalom, hello, greetings. Thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you all so much for your time. I don't take it lightly. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for so many of you for supporting the shows. It seems like no matter whatever I talk about, you follow me. So I don't know. This is one of the things when I first came up with this, when I noticed that the answers that the Most High give me, a lot of you know that I asked him five questions years ago, and those five questions end up being five answers that I call five smooth stones. And when I first got this, I noticed it was five. I quickly adapted the five smooth stone. I just like that because these topics are smooth. In other words, they're not rough around the edges. They're biblically based. They're sound, they're clear, and anyone can see them if they would just do one simple thing. I always ask people, hear me out. Hear me out. Don't tune in 15 minutes and then leave and think you know what I'm talking about. You have no clue. In the end, if somebody would just listen, have an open mind, and just listen to Brother Seth and sometimes Sister Arlene when she's here, if they would just do that, they would say, wow, I see it. I see it. I hardly ever have people. I can't remember when I had a person that heard me out, listened to the whole thing, went with me scripture to scripture, and in the end say, I don't see it. I don't see it. They may say, well, the worst it gets is they may say, well, I don't know. You got me thinking. That's it. But to just flat out say, oh, you're twisting that scripture, I can't see that. Only people that say that, those are tuning in for like 10 minutes and tune out. So if you're doing that, I just ask you not. If you're going to be a scholar, you got to dig. If you're going to be a scholar, folks, you have just simply got to dig. Don't mean that I'm a scholar and everything and I know everything, because I don't. I absolutely don't. I can also learn. As a matter of fact, there is, without a shadow of a doubt, more things that I don't know, more things that I don't know than the few things I do know, okay? I am a student in life. I am so unlearned in so many things. The more, somebody once said it like this, the more I learn, the less I know. The more I learn, the less I know. And that's kind of how I feel. More digging I do, more I realize, man, you don't know hardly nothing. I mean, more I talk about the one world government and then start digging into what they're doing, I realize, I don't know, I found out something last night. Oh, my goodness. Y'all listen to the show on Thursday night. That is all I got to say. If you missed the show on Thursday night, I haven't put up the topic yet, what it's going to be in the description, but this is going to be something so deep. Till I'm shaking in my boots to even share it. I'm serious. I found some stuff that just is so much that the wicked is out there doing. So much. And yes, the righteous need to know about it. When I say the righteous, I'm not talking about every single work we do. It's righteous. Righteous is a people, those that seek the Most High, simple and plain. Okay? But, folks, you got to listen to this Thursday night at midnight. It's another midnight show. But anyway, let's talk. Let's kind of talk about what we're going to be talking about today. Again, thank you for your time. I just can't seem to thank you enough. I really, truly take your time serious, and I will never, ever. One thing I'm sure about this blog, you don't have to ever worry about Brother Seth just saying something just to be saying something. If I've said something, trust me, years and years of studying has went on because I have fought. I really don't want spotlight. It's a lot of people think. And a lot of people think that I just love to talk, but I don't. You know, especially the people that's going to disrespect you and halfway hear you. Just all the different things I encounter when I share, either in the pulpit or on the street. So, I mean, I don't always like to talk about topics that people disagree with. I want to talk about things that people agree with, things that I can get more, like faith and some of the things that most of us already know about. These are the things I like talking about because when you start talking about leprosy and Bible leprosy, that is, it's a difference. And you start talking about racism, you get a lot of looks and you get people rejecting, you get friends, questionable friends, you know, it's just a lot of opposition when you preach the kind of things that I preach and teach. So I really don't get a kick out of talking about this like y'all think. I just feel a calling upon my life, a calling upon my life. There are different callings. Yes, we're all called, those of us that are following the Most High, following the Almighty. Yes, we're called to, as the scripture called it, reconcile men back to him. True, true, true. That means tell people about who he is, what he have done, and different things like that. Yes, yes, we are called to that. However, there's different administrations. There's different gifts in the body of Christ. Okay, and some of us are called to deal with, while we are called to bring people to the Most High, but through the area of marriages. In other words, we are called to, first and foremost, like I said, to bring people to Christ. We run into different people that have different needs, and we are to tell our story, tell our testimony, and lead them, let them know how they can have this life that we call better life, everlasting life. But we also have a burden or a calling or a gift upon us to share about marriage, some of us. And then some of us are called to talk about economics. And then some of us are called to talk about wealth. We just got a knack for wealth. It just seems to be something we don't have to toil for. We have a gift, we have a talent in that area, and we share about that. Then some people are called to talk about end-time events. They just focus on end-time events. And I do believe that, me personally, I'm called to deal with racism. I think that has been something that has touched my life in a very profound way, both in a bad way and in a good way. And I just feel like, as T.L. Osmond used to say, whatever you come out from, whatever you come from is what you normally are called into. So you're normally called in life. Your calling in life is normally what you come out of. That's normally at least one of your callings. So I have dealt strongly with racism. And I've seen our white brothers and sisters in a light, a good light, that seems like a lot of black people don't see. I've seen good sides. I've seen some very profound people that just touched my life and that was godly, and I'll always have their back. I'll always have their back. They're proven to be righteous. And then I've seen some white people that I swear I think was from Satan, came straight from Satan, but I will not form my lips, as Elijah Muhammad said, and say that they are devils. While I agree with some of his teachings, I do not think that white people are devils or anything like that. So when I share this message today, although some of y'all probably think that along the lines, because the truth is is often strange and in fiction, and also the truth is also brutal. Sometimes it just seems like when you tell the truth, it just seems like it's more brutal a lie. I mean, the truth can be sometimes hurt your feelings so much. And if you're full of pride, the truth is going to be your enemy. It's going to put you down hard because you're full of pride. It's not the truth is doing. It's just you're out of whack by being so puffy and proudful. It's one of the abominations in the Bible. To be a proud look, as the Bible calls it. That's abomination. You know, mankind, yes, we're supposed to be proud of for us who we are, but we're supposed to be more proud of who the Father is and look to him for guidance and strength and direction. When mankind starts thinking he don't need Most High, this is where we get in trouble. This is where we get in trouble. So today, we're going to talk about these people that call themselves the Jews, the true Jews, the real Jews, okay? People that run our world. They run our world. It is no doubt they run our world. Anybody don't think that the so-called Jewish people run our world, you are sleeping under a rock or a bridge or something, and you just totally out of whack with our society. My friend, they run this world. It's just that simple. I wish I could say something else, but it's not true. They run the banking industry. They run the media big time. And they run Hollywood. They are Hollywood. The so-called Jewish people are Hollywood. They back so many programming out of Hollywood. And then many have submitted proof that they are part of the porn industry. These are things we know for sure. No telling what else other. Anyway, we're going to talk a lot about today people that call themselves Jews. Now, before I begin, I already said it earlier. I don't want to keep saying it. I'm not going to keep saying it. I'm only saying it because when we begin to talk, I'm not going to say it again because I probably will say it again, but I really don't want to keep saying this, and that is that the Five Smooth Stones, this blog, does not operate in hate. We love all people on the planet. We believe, in, like Ephesians 6 says, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness, and high places. Our enemies, our true enemies, are worldliness, the flesh, the cravings of the flesh, the wicked cravings of the flesh. All the cravings of the flesh is not bad. But the wicked cravings of the flesh and demonic spirits are Satan. So the worldliness, fleshliness, and evil spirits. Again, our three enemies are worldliness, the cravings of the flesh, the evil cravings of the flesh, and evil spirits, fallen angels. That is it. There's nobody white. Blonde hair, blue eye, red hair, brown hair, there's nobody black. Black hair, black eyes, nobody walking around with six senses do we deem our enemy. It's just that simple. Sometimes the words I say can come off as though it sounds like the brother just hate. No, I don't. You have to find something else to call me other than a hater. I do not hate people, okay? All right? The worst thing you can say about Brother Seth, if you have proof with this, is that he is in error. You can charge me with that, but you're going to have to show me in Scripture how I'm in error. The people of the book are vastly dark-skinned people. Simple and plain. The people of the book are vastly dark-skinned people. The people in Israel today is who the Most High brought there. Oh, yes, he brought them there, but not to be the true Jews. He brought them there as a punishment because he ran out the apple of his eye, the true people, bloodline Israel. He ran them out of the land. Israel is in exile. Now, we've had some people to go return to Israel, declaring they are the true Jews. They live in Dimona. We know about the operation to go into Africa and get the, some people call it the Falashian Jews, which they don't like their word. They like to call themselves Beta Jews. These are the Jews that directly descend from Queen of Sheba, Makeda, and King Solomon. Solomon and Queen of Sheba had a child named Menelik, and their descendants is called they call themselves Beta Israel. Now, some people I've actually heard this too, that the people, well, anyway, that's that. I want to get off on the subject. But anyway, so we know about the Ethiopian Jews that are there. We know about the Ethiopian Jews that are there, okay? And so we know about the people from Dimona, those that come from the United States, just like myself, and say we are the true Israelites. We know about them. But other than them, those people that is in that land, their history does not mirror the scriptures. Their history does not mirror the scriptures. There is nobody that can call me. Please do. Please call me if you want, because I would love to be wrong. It would give me something else to do with my time. So don't sit there and know the information. Say, I ain't calling. I don't want to get in an argument. Brother Seth ain't going to argue with you. We're going to discuss this in peaceful. We're going to be peaceful about this. We're going to exchange facts. I do not know anybody that can call this phone line that can show me where the people in Israel, their history is in the Bible. It's just simply not there, folks. It's simply not there. Okay? Yes, the Holocaust was horrible. I hate that they had to go through it. Again, we don't hate. I hate that they had to go through what they went through, but the Holocaust is not in the Bible. Not there, folks. I went to Israel, as many of you know, several times. I've been. I went 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2008. I went twice. And the times I've been in, I'm not done visiting Israel, but the times that I've been, I've sought out our brothers and sisters that have to be white, to call themselves Jews, to see. And the dialogue with them as to why they feel like they're Jews. And I remember on the airplane, I finally got to what I think was a high-ranking so-called Jewish person. And I say he was high-ranking because everybody on the plane was reporting to him, and he happened to be sitting right beside me. Nothing but the Most High set this up. And I asked him if I could record him because I knew we was going to get into a very interesting conversation. I had started first to start talking about who he was. How do you know you're Jew? How do one know they're Jewish? And then while I was in the middle of it, I asked him, can I record? He said, sure. But we got into a conversation. And you know what? I just realized I didn't pray. And I cannot go any further. We'll finish this subject on our interview on the plane, with my interview on the plane with this gentleman. But please, let's offer up and ask the Most High's blessing upon our time together. Please, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, I forgot that. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come unto you. We thank you for who you are. We so thank you that we have a Father and that we're not children without a Father. We thank you for being our Father and leading and guiding us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word that makes things clear upon the earth, that make life worth living. Now that we see that there is an all power behind the scenes, we just thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness and your devotion to fulfill the scriptures. Father, help us to understand your word, the scriptures. Help us to understand what you're saying, what you're doing in these days and times. And help us to line our life up with your will that we may be blessed and our children may be blessed, Father. Reward our time today in seeking you and asking questions and dialoguing over what your heart is all about, what you are all about, what you're doing upon the earth today. Help us to line up our lives and our hearts and our minds with what you're doing and what you're about. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, folks, and everybody that agree with that, please say, I agree. Okay. Now, back to my interview. And again, this was a dialogue I had with a brother on the plane. You know, I really wish that I do have a copy of that video. If I played it, you could understand it. You'd have to be here. Perhaps I will experiment with somebody a long distance and try it again and see a way we can take out this and take out that. But it's a long conversation. I recorded about 45 minutes of it. You can't hear because the plane has this engine, you know, has this we're sitting towards the back, and you can it's a loud engine noise. You can't really hear unless you're just right here with the video in your hand listening, okay? But playing it over the air, it just don't work out. But anyway, lots of people have heard this. Lots of my friends can vouch. People can vouch. Yes, I've heard it before. I've talked with this gentleman, and I didn't let him know where I stood. I just simply asked him, you know, I said, there's a movement in America where a lot of so-called blacks is calling themselves the real Jews. Are you familiar with that? And this brother said, yes, I've heard that. And I say, what they're saying is, and by the way, let me back up because I just jump right smack in his hands and foot. Again, folks, this is Five Smooth Stone. It's Five Smooth Stone coming at you. And we're talking about who are the people. Well, let me just read the show's description. Just make it real clear. We're going to jump right back into it. Trust me, I won't forget my point. Okay, so I said in the show's description that, and I'll just read the actual show description. It says, using the scriptures, hold on a second here. Well, the computer's not acting right, so let me just have that. Anyway, folks, anyway, today what we're doing is we're talking about the people in Israel. Who are they? Okay, if they're not the real Jews, then who are they? Seth, every week you come on at 3:30 on Sunday, you talk about this whole thing about how so-called blacks are Israel. You went into the scriptures. You've been talking about the last five, probably 8 weeks, about how that so-called black people are the true people of the book. Okay, now tell us, if we are the people of the book, the so-called black people are living out Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and various prophecies throughout the Bible, more so than any other people on the planet, then who are the people in Israel today? Who are they? Why are they there? They keep the feast days, Seth. They migrated back to their homeland, as the Bible says. They have the bar mitzvahs, and they have all these different traditions that they keep as a people. They dress a certain way. They dress different. If you ever go to Israel, Seth, their culture is so much more different than everybody else. Well, like I said earlier, I've been to Israel. I don't believe because people are in a land that they immediately, that makes them qualified to be from the land. No more than I believe that white people in America is the true people of so-called Americas. I don't believe that, and I'm sure you don't either. You know better than that because you're smart. Anybody listening to this blog with any interest in this blog got to be intelligent. So just because somebody's in the land and call themselves the natives of the land, don't make them natives of the land. Moses said in Deuteronomy 28 certain things that's going to, and I hadn't forgotten my story about the man on the plane. We're going to talk about that. But Moses said certain things is going to come upon so-called biological Israel. In Deuteronomy 28, he lays it out, blessings if they obey, curses if they disobey. When we look at the blessings and hold on 1 second. When we look at the blessings, just one moment. Got to take a break here. Just 1 second. I apologize. Okay. When we look at the blessings, when you look at the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, there is no nation, no group of people, I believe, I'm sure if you do the research, you would agree, nobody lives after the blessings of Deuteronomy 1:14. As a nation, we're talking about a nation of people, a vast group of people living out the blessings. Okay? We look at the curses, it's strange, very, very strange, because we can find people on our planet living out the curses. Even the last curse in Deuteronomy 28, where it says that Israel will be put in ships and sold as slaves, put in ships, taken somewhere, taken back to their land of captivity. It says Egypt, but we know that it can't mean the Egypt, modern-day Egypt, because modern-day Egypt is landlocked to Israel, and it would make no sense to put people in boats and take them over to a land that you're already connected to. So we believe that that Egypt that it's describing when it says you'd be taken back to Egypt in ships is nothing more than modern-day Egypt, your place of captivity. But he said that this nation, the so-called nation, the real true, not so-called, but the true nation of Israel, Moses said in Deuteronomy 28:68, we put in ships and sold as slaves. We look at all the blessings, all the curses, rather. We see people living it out. So we've talked about that for the last how many weeks, okay? Now, again, bring those of you that was lost earlier up to speed. We're saying if we are the people of the book, if so-called African-Americans live out the blessings, the cursing more than any other people as a nation, again, if your household obey, you seek the Most High in your own home, you're going to have the blessing of the Most High. End of story. Christ have come. If you trust in him, trust in what the Most High did through him, trust me, folks, you'll have the blessings. All the blessings will come up on you. You'll be blessed. But we're talking about how you feel and what would your nation go through. And your nation is not America. I know we've been born here. That's all we know. All our parents know. All their parents know. But the Most High don't look at history the way we do. We can't change the whole Bible just depending upon our education and our definition. We don't have the power to define. He has the power to define. What I'm saying to you is this. He still says that Israel, when he scattered them to the four corners, will be a nation. The Most High still see Israel, even though he scattered them to all four corners. He still see who they are, where they are. Okay, and he says certain things will happen to them. We've lived it out. And I've covered this in the previous archives. I can't go into this now because I've devoted lots and lots and lots of hours to talking about those specific curses, those prophecies, and how that we as the people live them out. So what did I say to you? If you want to truly, truly know, truly, truly know who or how we live out those curses or those prophecies, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Please listen to the previous archive because today is the so-called Jewish Day. They look at their lives, their flight, and how they have fulfilled Scripture as well, but not like you think, or not like most people think, I should say. They have fulfilled being the people that the Most High called from the northern country. The Bible talks about that a whole lot. They have fulfilled scriptures and returning, coming from the northern country, occupying Israel as a punishment unto the real biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Most High simply ran them out of that land, scattered them out to the four corners, and those people today are the people that is in the land of Israel, my friend. It's just that simple. And we're going to talk about that with some scriptures here shortly. All right? We also visit a little history. But right now I'm talking about my experience on the plane with the high-ranking officials in the so-called, among the Israel, among the so-called Jews. I have to take my pill there. I take garlic pills. But anyway, so I'm talking to this guy on the plane, and I say to him, I didn't let him know how I thought, because if I'd let him know what I believe, it would have shut down the whole conversation. Once they know you know, they're not going to talk to you. So you got to almost, not say what you actually believe. So I said, listen, I've heard this movement in the United States where a lot of so-called black people are saying they are truly blood Israel. Yeah, I've heard that too. And I said, here's what they say, and I want you to tell me what to say to them. What should I say to them when I talk to them to let them know the truth, I mean, you're a real Jew. He says, yes, I am. I said, so you can tell me what I can say to them. He says, okay, all right. I said, well, one of the things they say is they say that the people in Israel don't live out the scriptures. They don't fulfill the prophets in Deuteronomy 28. And he says, oh, that's totally incorrect. He said, that's totally incorrect. And he began to explain to me that the Bible doesn't always say exactly what it's saying, that it's typology and shadows and things.
metaphors. And he began to explain so much away the validity of scriptures till I had to say to him, I say, and I'm not going to say his name, bad as I want to. I'm keep his thing, everybody innocent. We just want to deal with the facts. But I said to him, blah, blah, I'll just say his name was Michael. I said, Rabbi Michael, I say, if what you're saying is true, that the Bible is typed in shadows and metaphors and none of it really, basically you sound none of it or very little of it is means what it says and says what it means. I say, then anybody could be a Jew. All this is suspect, the whole 66 books. He said, well, that's not quite what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you can't look at the Old Testament and Deuteronomy 28 in the fashion that so-called African-American, what did he say, so-called African-Americans are looking at it. So I said, I understand. I said, well, what do you have to say? I said, like they say that the Holocaust is not in the Bible. What do you have to say about that? He said, well, the Holocaust actually is in the Bible. And I said, where is it? My eyes is buck now because I have been researching for many, many years, and I have yet to find the Holocaust in the Bible. So now my long-awaited time is over with. I finally went to Israel, and I don't know if it was trip number 5 or 6 or where, what trip it was, but I finally met a man that can tell me where the Holocaust is in the Bible. So I said, please, can you tell me where? He says, in Deuteronomy 28. If I'm lying, I'm flying. May the Most High bring damnation upon my family if I'm lying to y'all. I don't have to lie. Y'all not paying me a dime. There is no motivation whatsoever for me to get on this blog and lie to you. I'm telling you, this is my experience. So help me, Most High. This man says to me that the Holocaust is in Deuteronomy 28. Now, if y'all find the Holocaust of Deuteronomy 28, then you are becoming the person I need to talk to more than anybody else. Please let me know how, where I'm missing it. That was a very big event that happened to over 8 million Jews, some say. And something that big happened to the Most High people, if they were the Most High people, is going to be in the Bible. It's not, folks. It's not. The way they became a nation, it's not in the Bible. The Most High said the Israelites will come from all four corners. We talk about the Valley of the Dry Bones. That's Israel coming together. They said, this is the whole house of Israel. That's Israel coming together. They are supposed to come from all nations. And there's not 200 nations as we think. There's only 70 nations according to Genesis 10. I believe I got that right, Genesis 10, yeah. There's only 70 nations, folks. So, what is Brother Seth saying? What I'm saying to you is we've been lied to. We've been severely lied to. And I'm going to go into further. We're going to talk about more of the Ashkenazi Jews, but let me just back up and say this. I have got to say this. Even though I just don't want to even say this no more, I have to got to explain why this is important. Because some people are saying, and I hear it all the time, what does this stuff have to do with my salvation? So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with you today, or those that think that, because I feel like it's injustice to those that have been listening every single week and have heard me just take care of that question. I'll try to, in 3 minutes, address you briefly. The reason this is important is, number one, it's Bible. And if you find yourself in life a follower of Christ, a seeker of the Most High through his Son's example, you should be interested in anything that's in the Bible. The Bible does talk about how the Most High would bring a nation from the north and occupy Israel as a punishment unto his people. You should know that because it's in your handbook. You are a servant. You are seeking the Most High. Your life is not your own. Your time is not your own. Your body is not your own. You have volunteered to be a servant of the Most High, a slave, if you will, for the ultimate benefits of life. You're part of the kingdom of the Most High. And if you are, this should be vital to you strictly because it's Bible. The Most High said that he would scatter his children to the four corners of the earth and would bring the heathen into the north country, and that is what happened. Okay? That is simply what happened, folks. And you need to understand this because the scripture says that Israel, because of their rebellion, was scattered to the four corners of the earth. But then the Most High said that he would gather his people. He said he would gather his people again. He would resurrect Israel is what I'm trying to say. He would resurrect Israel. So Israel is being resurrected. It's been started. The information has been released into the earth because at one point it was a secret as to who the real Jews were. We were just walking and stumbling over Deuteronomy 28 and not realizing this very chapter is the source of the proof. This is where this scripture holds water. This chapter holds water. Leviticus 26 holds water. And all the other scriptures in the Bible that's talking about what Israel is to go through. This is the only way, error proof, that you know who is a true Jew. There is no other way. All this mess about DNA, that stuff is so political, it ain't even funny. I mean, how do you know to trust DNA? You can switch it to what you want it to be. You can convict who you want to convict with it. I'm just saying, we can't trust DNA. Furthermore, Brother Seth on Saturdays at 11 o'clock, goes into the Bible, talks about something called Bible leprosy, where he talks about exactly how people became white. And he talks about how that there's only one human family. And that human family was made of two people from the Garden of Eden. And they was made from the dust of the earth. The Bible says, dust you art, Adam, Eve, dust you art, and dust you shall return. Dust you are, dust you shall return. So if nothing else, folks, check this out. If you don't know how, people say, well, yeah, but just because it says thus you are, thus shall you return, that's no proof that you can say that Adam and Eve was made of the dust, that dust outside of the ground. You can't. You don't know that. Well, yes, I do, because listen to what he said. Thus thou art, and thus shall thou return. We weren't there to see how they was made, but brothers and sisters, today I got good news for you. We can see how they return, because when people die, they are returning. When they die, they have returned. So they're going to turn to whatever he made them out of. He said, thus thou art, and thus shalt thou return. Whatever you are, you're going to return to it. So when we see people die, when we see people that die today, we see exactly what they turn to. So these people that say, y'all Israelites ran talking about Most High made men out of the dust of the earth, are y'all Christians that say, or whoever is preaching this. And people say that there's no way you know that dust that the Most High made man of is the dust outside. Well, I got good news for you. Write this down, folks. Record this. Get it. You do have now proof, because he said, thus you are, and thus shall you return in the book of Genesis. So, we now have proof, a way to figure out who is man. Look at things when they return back to dust. Don't just look at man. Man turns to dark dust, dark dirt. I mean, just the other day, I was talking to somebody, I left the orange in garage, and I didn't want to pick it up after a while because I realized it was decomposing and whatever and turning back to its original state. And I guess it's been about 3 months now, the bag of oranges. That bag of oranges turned dark, dark brown. If we don't quickly bury our white brothers and sisters, they turn dark. Everything goes back to this dark soil we call humus. It's humus look. They call the dark dirt H-U-M-M-A-S, humus. And that's what people turn to, that color. All people turn to that color. Those people that are born that color, when they die, they don't turn any color. They don't get darker. Everybody turns to this dark humus look, folks. This is science. You ain't got to listen to Brother Seth. The truth can be seen in more than one way. So some of y'all don't even believe in the Bible. Fine. Okay. Well, it's not fine, but I can deal with where you're at. Well, simply look at nature. What happened when anything dies? Anything. It all goes back to that dark humus look. So, folks, that was the original man. That was the original Adam and Eve and Seth and Moses and all of the Bible. Okay, so you can prove black Hebrewism of black Jewish roots many ways. I don't like the word black because that's a new concept. I like to just say you can prove that the Jewish people or the Israelites were people of color many different ways. I just tend to stick with scriptures. That's because many of you are there and you don't want to hear nothing else. You're in a bubble. You don't want to hear nothing else. And I can take you, I can come inside your bubble and share with you through these 66 books everything I'm saying today. But I can step outside the bubble and show it politically. I can step outside the bubble and show you how American Great Britain, how Israel became a nation the ungodly way, this forcing of a plate at the table for a so-called people that most I never called. I can show you that. I can show you some things. There's some other people that can show you it even clearer than I can, but I do have something to say on that. Okay, I can show it to you in just plain old common sense. Some of y'all know deep in your mind that there's nowhere in the world those people could be as lily white as they look in the land of Jerusalem right now. They're sitting in Africa, folks. Don't go by that cutting up of the Suez Canal. Don't even buy it. Keep that land connected. Where are they at? They're in Africa, folks. I've been to Egypt right across the water, and I'm telling you the same trees, same birds, same everything is right across that water. Folks, I'm telling you, they're in Israel. And I've heard that they share the same tectonic plate as Egypt does. I'm talking about Israel. I don't know that to be true or not, but I've heard that. But there are so many ways to show and prove what we're saying today. What are we saying today? We're talking about the people in Israel. Who are they? We submit, I submit to you that they are not who they say they are. They are not the people of the book. That's what Brother Seth is saying. It's not so. It's simply not so. It's simply not so, folks. So that's one of the things I just wanted to share with you. I know a lot of y'all really support the Jewish people in your body. You should. The Most High said that He would definitely bless those that bless Israel, and he would curse those that curse Israel. So if I'm cursing real Israel, that means that I'm in trouble. Let's look in your Bibles, Jeremiah 1 and 14. Jeremiah 1 and 14. Okay? I'm going to give everybody a minute to get your Bibles. I know some of y'all sitting there just surfing, and you don't even have your Bible app. Like I said, when you listen to Brother Seth, you're going to have to get your Bible out because we are always, always take it back to the scriptures, okay? Jeremiah 1:14 says, "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set up every one his throne at the entering of the gates, at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof, round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them," talking about his people, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worship the works of their own hands. Many, many, many scriptures talk about the Most High bringing a people from the north, from the north, from the north, unto Israel as a punishment. Simple and plain. Let's go, let's look at another scripture talking about the same thing. There's so many scriptures. And Jeremiah, finished reading that. I don't really get all the way into scriptures at one chapter. What I do is I bring out the nugget, and I want you to go and do study that whole chapter. Sometimes I do study the whole chapter, but my thing I want to do is introduce the chapters to you and let you see the many places that pronouncing and proclaiming the things I'm sharing. Okay? So, folks, what do you think of that one? What do you think about Jeremiah, his take on this? Amazing, amazing, amazing. All right? So I want everybody to turn to Joel, please. Joel 2. Joel 2. All right? And once you have Joel 2, actually, let's look at Joel 1. Joel 1 and 6. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number. Most High sent him, though. He's going to say it here in a little bit. Whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. And has the cheek teeth of a great lion. Let's see. As good as this is, I think I want to jump straight to the point. Let me just keep reading. All right, he has made lace my vine. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree and hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are white, meaning dead. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. He's saying to his people, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to do three things here one time. I'm trying to see exactly. Okay. So it goes on to say, and I'll just read this fast. How about that? That way we'll just move on. Because I really want to read Joel 2. That's where I really want to be heading. I don't want to just sit here and read the whole book of Joel to you. I'll tell you, well, let me just jump right over to Joel 2. Listen to this. This is talking about the same people that the Most High called against Israel. He called these people up to persecute his people because his people had turned their back on him. Again, that's spoken of in Joel 1, 2. So check this out. Joel 2, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there had not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to years of many generations. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burning. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing should escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire, they divide the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness, meaning sadness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. In other words, they're going to be unified. Verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone his path, and when they fall upon the sword, watch this, they shall not be wounded. Now, who can fall upon a sword and not be wounded? It just means that they just keep coming. They just keep coming. It's like they just can't die. They shall run to and fro to the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. What? The earth shall quake before them. Everybody. The heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Just basically saying all that means to me is that they have control over everything. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. What? The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. This is the Lord's army, folks. Yeah, they're going to destroy. They're going to hold captive. We're about to read here. But they are the Lord's army. I know believers that think Joel 2 is talking about a righteous army because it says the Lord's army. They don't want to associate the Lord with nothing damnable. But here is a people who the Most High have called to do destruction upon the planet. Y'all better listen today. Verse 11 again. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For he is strong that executes his word. For he is strong that executed his word. Talking about this nation of people, these warriors that we've been reading about. It says, for he or they is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Nobody, really. Verse 12. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. What can you do? What can you do? What's the solution for you? My goodness. Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. When this people come, as the scriptures, and let me just say, because I'm reading something very ancient. I know somebody out there is thinking it. Brother Seth, that chapter has already passed. That's ancient stuff. Do you know you're reading something that's thousands and thousands and thousands of years? Remember, folks, those of you that have been listening to the broadcast over the weeks, Moses said in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 46, that what Israel go through, they're going to go through it forever. If they're obedient, they're going to enjoy the blessings forever. If they disobey, they're going to enjoy the curses forever. Deuteronomy 28, he starts to talk about specifically what blessings and what curses. And he goes on to say, and I quote, Deuteronomy 28 and 46, and they, speaking of the blessings or the curses, and they, speaking of the blessings or the curses, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. Again, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. A sign, S-I-G-N, identifies something. And a wonder is what causes people to wonder. Amazing. In other words, and they, the blessings of the curses, shall be upon thee for a sign, identifying you, and a wonder, to amaze everyone, and upon thy seed forever. These blessings of the curses are how we acknowledge, how we identify true Israel. So whatever Israel went through in ancient times, when we read these scriptures, Isaiah, the Jeremiah, the Micahs, the Habakkuk, all these prophets, they're just talking about what Israel is going through and what they will go through. All of this stuff is supposed to repeat itself over and over and over, forget it forever. So if I'm reading something and it was ancient, it's going to repeat over and over and over again. Most of this stuff we're talking about. okay? And if it says they're not going to repeat it, then they're not going to repeat it. Some things that say this won't happen again. But what I'm saying is, listen to this. Listen to what I'm reading and ask yourself, just like it, like when we first started reading Joel 2, it says there's never going to be people like these people and there's never going to be a people like the apple. Okay, so let's listen to the description of what these people are going to do and tell me, who are these people? Have they already lived? Were they the Romans? Just listen, because the Romans don't have the kind of power. The Babylonians didn't have the kind of power. The Persians didn't have the kind of power to do the thing that the scripture is about to say. Check this out, folks. I'm telling you, we're living this out today. All right? I think we start left off at verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice for his army, for his camp is great. It's very great. And he has strongly executed his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye, even this is what we actually that thought. Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Okay? Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave. Repent just means to change course. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? This is what the priest is supposed to say. They're supposed to weep from the porch to the altar. And they're supposed to, this is our ministry, they're supposed to be declaring, crying out, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Uh-oh. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be sanctified therewith. I will no more make you approach among the heathen, but I will remove far off you the northern army, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. Here is the second time in scripture today we've seen that these people coming from the north. But I have found over 20 times where the Most High said, out of the north, a whirlwind, out of the north, a wicked nation, out of the north, out of the north, out of the north, out of the north. Folks, what is Brother Seth saying on this Sunday afternoon? I'm trying to share with the listening audience that the Most High said that he would run Israel out of the land. Israel was to be exiled from their land because of rebellion. Who was he supposed to bring? He said out of the north. He was going to bring a people. I just read earlier where it says all of the family. Do y'all know what all mean? He was basically going to empty Europe on Israel. And when he did that, that is what caused that area to become whitened. It's black still, but it was a whole lot blacker than it was prior to the Crusades. There are so many scriptures talking about a wicked people coming from the north, Israel has been scattered to the four corners. But I got something for you. Think about this. According to the United Nations, now, it's not Bible. For those of y'all that don't respect the Bible, there's a little something for you. Those of you that don't want to hear from the Bible, here's a something for you. The United Nations says that the earth is 8% white. They said this some time back. 8% white, 92% non-white. If our planet is basically people of color, I mean, 92% really is your whole planet. If it's 92% non-white, what is that saying? That when Israel has been scattered through the four corners of the earth among all nations, and of course we're talking about hundreds and thousands of years, we're talking about thousands of years ago. If Israel was white, like some of y'all think when you close your mind and imagine the Messiah and the disciples and the people back then, y'all know that's the truth. They weren't olive color and they weren't light skinned. I'm sorry, it was dark skinned people. If Israel was white and they've been scattered into a 92% black world and they mixed with the 92% black world, a non-white, I should say, non-white world for thousands of years, y'all know where I'm going with this. That would make Israelites at least 92% non-white. My friend, I've just showed you, using common sense, that Israel can't be lily white in that hot region. Neither are they olive tone. You got to get away from the olive tone. We keep talking about the olive tone. No, olive tone is kin to white skin. This is what I talk about on Saturdays. On Saturdays, on the Shabbat, we talk about leprosy. We talk about Bible leprosy, which is nothing more than albinism and vitiligo. It is a type of leprosy. One type of leprosy. Albinism and vitiligo. We talk about how man was made from the dust of the earth. And when they sin, they begin to lose pigmentation. When they sin, they begin to get too tall or too short, a memory loss. They experience something called death. Folks, I didn't write this. Don't get upset with me. Don't think Brother Seth hates. I'm just interpreting the Bible. What you need to do is simply come at me with scripture and say, Brother Seth, think you're a little off. And if you can share with me, respecting me, we can go back and forth. This is how you grow. You can't grow by just saying, oh, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Lots of things are the craziest thing you ever heard. What our government is doing right now in our lives is the craziest thing you ever heard. The whole philosophy of electricity is crazy, but it works. Just because you think it's crazy don't mean it's not real. The truth is often stranger than fiction. Well, anyway, I'm saying to you that the United Nations said Israel, I mean America, about the world is 8% white. So we have trouble with a lily white Jerusalem. Now, of course, when you go to Jerusalem, that's another thing. Here's another common sense thing you can learn. If you actually go to Jerusalem, I hope you get showed around by brothers and sisters in the land of Dimona. Because they're going to show you the African presence in Israel, and that is going to blow you away. If you travel to Israel and you let the white Jews so-called Jews show you around, you're going to miss something very important because they dodge showing you certain things. For instance, did you know that probably within a 10-minute walk, I don't even know if it's that long, I'd say probably a 6-minute walk from the Wailing Wall is an African community. African community. You'll be minding your own business. They'll take you on a tour. You see the Wailing Wall. And then they say, okay, let's go to another tour. And they'll take you to something called Prison Gate. Prison Gate. Prison Gate. You go into a prison on Prison Gate in this area, and here are these black, we're talking about dark-skinned people, a community, a huge community of black folks, right there around the corner in the city of David. And you wonder, why come we've never seen those people on CNN, ABC, CBS? They must tell them, don't y'all dare go around to their wall. I'm talking about black folks. And the reason they call it Prison Gate is because when the Crusades came, what I'm told, that those people were put in prison. It was in prison. When the whites come down from Europe, they imprisoned a lot of the people that was native to that land, or that was living in the land, I should say, because Israel has been in exile. They're the ones that's actually native to it. But the blacks that was living there, because the whole region is black. Israelites were black. Non-Israelites were black. Prior to the Crusades and prior to the Most High coming against Israel, all of that land, I mean, it was always dark skin. Let's go just say that. It was always, I mean, go back to Adam and Eve. It was always people of color. Remember Egypt, all the scholars agree, was dark skin. This was dark skin, okay? Anyway, so these people were put in prison. And they never left. They just vowed to not leave the Holy Land. So when even they stopped using the prison system, they turned those cells, those prison cells, into tiny little homes. And they called it Prison Gate. Now, after the people in Dimona start taking us on the tours, they have taken that sign down, Prison Gate. But if you type it in on Google, Yahoo, they can't run. You'll still see images and pictures of the prison sign, the Prison Gate sign. But they have taken that down because the people in Dimona start actually telling the truth. People are wicked, I'm telling you. So when you go to their homes, more importantly, you'll see, wow, these are tiny little houses. Oh, these are cell blocks. You'll figure it out. But you got to let the people in Dimona show you around. Okay? Not only that, but they take you to Bethlehem, and they take you to all of these various neighborhoods, and you'll see the people of Israel. It's even today still dark-skinned Africans, heavy. I'm talking about dark, dark. When I say dark-skinned today, I'm talking about Africa dark. I'm not talking about nothing olive, okay? Because what happened is we let the olive kind of, it's being used. The way people talk about olive skin is kind of political. They slide the Europeans back in there. I'm saying to you, prior to the Crusades, that area was full of Africans. They're in the sun, okay? We're talking about Ethiopians. We're talking about that hue of people, okay? Simple and plain. Now, let's move right on. I haven't even had a chance to even look at the chat room. I just get so caught up sometimes. Moving right along. So the people in Israel, who are they? Why does it matter? What does it have to do with you? What does it have to do with your life? Well, folks, if the people we call African Americans are the true Jews, the true Israelites, it's major to our survival. It's major to our future. It's major to understanding who we are, why we are, why we go through the things we go through. It's vital to understanding and getting respect from other nations who we are, so the disrespect can stop, because as David said very clearly, Thou hast made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. Thou hast made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. We are truly a joke among the nations. Nations come to America and they try to work with so-called African Americans, but they find themselves exploiting us just like the so-called white man does in business. There is just this disrespect of African Americans all over. But I must say this: there is also a respect for African Americans for our struggles. A lot of people want to identify with us. It's kind of strange. They want to identify with the successful so-called black people, but at the same time, they hate the ones that don't make it. It's the craziest thing. But once this revelation is household knowledge, then, and only then, will we begin to get respect. And with respect comes, guess what? Support. We will get support from the nations. They will begin to say, I want to be a part of what the Most High is doing within the earth, having revealed his people, having restored his people. Israel is coming together, the valley of the dry bones. The bones are coming together, they're taking on skin, they're becoming a live nation from the four corners of the earth. I want to be a part. I want to be a part. And that's when we won't need bloodshed. We won't need guns. We won't need tanks. This is why Brother Seth is not a part of any violent movement. We're not advocating violence on any levels. We know it's going to come, but it ain't going to come from us. Going to come from the Most High. We believe that the Most High is going to be the one that's going to cause certain things to happen. But we don't advocate us as a people getting out and doing this and doing that to protect yourself. Yes, you know, I think it's okay to own a gun to protect your family. But I mean in terms of being connected with the underground movement that's getting ready to take the white man. We ain't part of that at all. We don't think that's going to happen at all. The white man is the master of weapons. And you're not going to go out and get no more weapons than what they got. They got so much more than we can even fathom, okay? Most of us are not even, we even own guns, most black people I know. So we're too late in the race to go try to be masters of weapons and guns. It's just not going to go down like that. This restoration of the Most High people is going to be done through our blood, with our bloodshed. There will be people fighting for us. But we won't have to say fight for us. It'll be the Most High. He is going to fight for us. He is going to touch the nation's heart and say, I'm going to protect this group of people. I'm going to protect their interests. I'm going to support them. But we don't advocate no form of violence. I don't unite. I don't hook up with. I don't in any way align myself up with anybody that's for violence. And I'm saying that for a reason. Neither are we as a people looking to divide and get our own land like we want the state of California. I understand the Nation of Islam and their desire to want to separate themselves from what they call a wicked people, but we differ in that we don't see the white man as Satan. No more do we see the black man as Satan. We're all pawns in the game by some very hard hitters, some spiritual wickedness that is just uncomprehendable to man. This is where the war is at, in the spirit, and it's spiritual wickedness. I believe with all my heart, every fiber of my being, that there are more people, I should say more beings than what you see with your eye. And thereby, it's an old age, it's a thousands of year old fight. This is an old ancient war that's going on in the spirit. Man is just mere objects. We're just pawns in the game compared to these powerful beings with these ancient old this old war. And it's not going to stop until the New Jerusalem is set up on this planet. So it's too big. Even if we try to get into the fight, it's too big. The Most High is the one that's going to redeem Israel. Getting a land, if they awarded us California, gave us the state of Texas, gave us Georgia, that is not going to solve our problem. We are full of self-hate, until we understand who we are. We can't hate, we can't do anything but hate ourselves if we don't know the true history, because what we are told is African history. What we're told we are is not something to love. You know, yes, I love black culture, some of the what we call black culture, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, I'm talking about a true, wholesome respect and honor and love that we have for our heritage. There's a reason we don't, because there's no value in it. That's why everybody want to be like Mike, want to be like Oprah. All we want is money, fame, power, because what we're told we have as a people has no value. What this so-called, what black is, it has no value. There are people that are moving and shaking the world. The Irish have something to be proud about, and their history to me is nothing. It's so small, but it's so much more bigger than what so-called African-American call their culture. It's like embarrassing to even compare. What do you call African-American culture? What do you call black? And now let's talk about what's Irish and what the Irish people are known for, or what the Germans, what they're known for, what the French, what they're known for. It's embarrassing to even compare the two. All people want to talk about is Martin Luther King and slaves, and Harriet Tubman, and these people, you know, all our people were just a bunch of freedom fighters. That's it, glorified freedom fighters. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't disrespect them. I have much, utmost respect for their sacrifice. But I'm saying our culture as a people, if that's what it's all about, with slave ships and what we've overcome and sports and entertainment, it's foolishness compared to even French, the French culture, the French contributions to the world. We've been lied to. That's why we have our young people calling each other still nigger. They can't get past it. Because truly, if that's all it's about, we are just a bunch of niggers. Because it has no value. It doesn't shine. It doesn't sparkle. It's not something you aspire to. It's no wonder our kids don't want to know about history. I mean, is that all there is to black people? Slaves, overcoming slavery, Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King, these freedom fighters that fought, died, was disrespected. People still disrespecting them now. Is that it? Few inventions here and there. Folks, listen to me. That's all a bag of lies. The most documented people on the planet is the so-called African American. Our life is hidden, is a secret inside of a book called the Bible. We are Yisrael, or many say Israel. We are the people of the book. Our life, our very essence of life, our foolishness is in the Bible. When we're acting silly and our kids is acting far from at on our weakest days as a people, we're in the book, folks. Our life is in the book. Our pain is in the book. Our joy is in the book. I often say this, and I've been, those of you that know me in Cincinnati, you know I really sit in Cincinnati, and I live there. Anything so-called black people do collectively as a people, anything we do collectively, okay, somebody says, exposing demon says, I rebuke this show in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, then they run off. That's what I'm talking about, people. This is what I've encountered for 20 years. They're not going to stay and really, this person that made this comment, they don't stay in dialogue and say, okay, brother, have you heard the scripture? They just run. This the little. When you see that, they actually give me strength. This is what gives me strength. I know I'm hitting on something
when I see Bible thumping Christians, or anybody that call themselves Christian, or whatever they want to call themselves, because it's not all Christians. Some people that, not even, they may be Hindu, they may be they, all types of, there may be Muslims. And they'll say something crazy, they always run. I respect people that try to put up a fight, even if they say, you know, I still don't see it. But this is what we're using. This is how, this is what encourages us, and this is what let us know we're on the right track. Anyway, like I was saying, what was I saying? See, that's what I call it, enemy come and get you off track. But, folks, there are so many things that prove what I'm saying to be true. What was I saying? I just don't know. Anybody in the chat room can help me out, help me remember what I was saying. My wife normally is the one that tug me on the side and say, get back on track. But anyway, I guess I get let my emotions sometimes get to me too. But I just hate it when these Christians, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? I rebuke you, rebuke this show in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about Israel and us coming together and returning to the laws of the Most High. How can you rebuke people that's talking about obeying the scriptures? But anyway, and I bet you $1 million it probably was a white. That's not a fact. But anyway, like I was saying, we live out this book. We live out this book from Genesis to Maps. We live out this book. Anything we go through as a people, if you say just anything black people do as a whole, that you see trend, that's the word I'm looking for. Any trends we have as a nation, something that not only we've done, but our grandmother's done, our grandfather's done, and all black people have done this, so-called black people. And remember, anybody that can duplicate and say, no, I feel like we live out the scriptures more than y'all, then they're nothing more than one of the 11 tribes. And there's not the whole planet. It's going to be very few of them as well. But anybody that can match our suffering, our pain, they're nothing more than one of the 12 tribes, people, those of you that don't know. And we've been scattered throughout the four corners. Anybody, any nation, any group that can say, we go through the exact same thing, then they're nothing more than one of our brothers and sisters. I'm focused on African Americans because I know them the most. But like I say, anything we do as a people, collectively, that you see we do over and over and over again, patterns, it's in the Bible. I've talked about men standing on street corners, young boys on street corners. I've talked about homes being with our fathers. I've talked about women, houses being led by women. You've got to listen to the archives. I can't go back into that every single week. But as you go into those archives and listen to the previous shows, I will start with the newest shows and go backwards. Start with the newest shows. Those shows are talking about proof of black biblical Jews. Proof of black biblical Jews 101. And just go backwards. Folks, if you're really interested and you're seeking the Most High, He will show you the light. Don't just pop on shows for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, see something, get offended, say a little something and run. Even the Most High requires His followers to not do that. The Bible says to this person that made this comment, the Bible says, if you see a person overtaken in a fault, go to him, ye which are spiritual, restoring your brother. So it is not even biblically sound to visit a blog and see people talking about something that's vehemently against everything you stand for, and you make one little comment and run like on some little chicken. You're supposed to dialogue. And this is what we're asking. I think all of the Israelites I can speak for on this. When we're talking about this particular conversation of who is the Israelites, these folks are armed with some scriptures, folks. Most people I know talking about this. This truth right here will last. This will last, folks. It's going to be around. This ain't going nowhere. You either line your life up with your mind, with your theology up,
are you going to find out 20 years later after you've taught your children and children's children a lie, and then all of y'all got to go back and unlearn stuff, and it's going to be very hard. If you love your children and your children's children, and you want to pass down a heritage of truth, you want to share something with them that's going to last and that's going to profit them, because the Bible says, Christ says, man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High. This is how we're going to live. I want y'all to hear something I'm going to play. It's about the people called the Khazars. So the people in Israel today, again, who are they? Who are they? If they're not Israelites, Seth, they're not the real Jews, who are they? Who are they? And it's a very good question. If they're not the people of the book, y'all saying they're not this and y'all saying they're not that, so then tell me, who are they? And that's a very honest question. They are from a people from a land once called Khazaria. And I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but if you would go to blogtalkradio.com, then type in a slash and five smooth stones, which is us, five underscore smooth underscore stones. Click on the link under the picture. Go to the library. Go to my library. The Google link to my library. You'll get other books on this very conversation, those of you that want to really research this. Okay? Again, go to blogtalkradio.com/I_smooth_stones. Once you do that, what you want to do is look up on, click on the link, and then it'll take you to the books and just look up Khazars. I have books on this. Well, I want you to listen to something online by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Friedman. Benjamin Friedman. Who is Benjamin Friedman? Benjamin Friedman is what they call a de facto Jew. Benjamin Friedman considered himself a Jew at one point. But then he found out, he unfortunately found out, it was a sad day for him, when he found out that these people were not the original Jews. We need to hear what this man has to say about this revelation that he is no longer a Jew himself and how he felt about it. I don't glory in people's misfortunes. To me, this was a sad time in this guy's life. This man was higher ranking in the government. This is one of those guys you can do history on. Benjamin Friedman, Google him. He's all throughout YouTube. He's in a lot of places, so you can check him out. And just hear it for yourself. You ain't got to listen, Brother Seth. Again, when something is true, you can prove it a lot of ways. When something is a lie, you got to constantly, constantly, constantly patch it up, patch it up, patch it up. So, like I say, I have a heart, and I love people, and I don't like to see people have to, you know, a lot of these Jewish people just woke up one day and their mom and dad said, "You're Jewish." They don't know nothing about none of this. They just woke up one day and found out that they're Jewish. And just like you woke up one day and found out you are African American or you are Caucasian, you had no control over it, right? That's the way Benjamin Friedman is. He had no control over none of this. So it's sad, just you know, watching this man and what he had to go through. And I mean this. I'm not putting on false airs right now. I really, my heart really does, and I'm glad I thought to say this, my heart really does go out to the Jewish people, those that, because, you know, when I went to Israel, I've been treated real well by the people there. I mean, I've been treated really nice by the so-called Jewish people there. I mean, yes, some people don't like the people in Dimon for whatever reasons, or they might not like the fact that when we go on tours, for instance, we get a lot of people looking at us and oftentimes really want to join us to see what is it exactly we're talking about. And they have this, it's like a love-hate relationship. They want to hear what we're saying, and but they don't, anyway, let me just go ahead and play this video. So, anyway, this video, by the way, is on YouTube. So, if you don't, you can find this video on YouTube. It's called Benjamin H. Freeman. F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N. Benjamin H. Freeman, the de facto Jew. Okay, so check it out. I want to know what y'all think. I really want to know what y'all think. Let me know, okay? But I'm without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play this. Check this out. And there's lots of videos on YouTube about this. This is not just him, okay? But here we go. I'm sorry, let me just go ahead and read the little thing because y'all can't see this. It says, a Jewish de facto warns America, okay, and this was at the Willard Hotel in 1961. Again, it's going to, you'll hear more about him on the video.
Here's an explanation of the plans now being laid to throw the United States into a third world war. It was made a short time ago before a large group in the Congressional Room of the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. Both the speech and the question and answer periods later so electrified the audience that a group of patriots has transferred it to two long-playing records which you may buy to play for friends, clubs, and your church groups in your community. The speaker is Mr. Benjamin Freedman, noted authority on Zionism and all of its schemes. Mr. Freedman is a former Jew, and I mean a former Jew. He has fought the communist world conspiracy tooth and nail and stands today as a leading American patriot. We now take you to the speaker's platform to present Benjamin Freedman.
By the Zionists who are now in occupation of that area.
death off. Now, when the United States troops appear in the Middle East to fight with the Zionists and their allies to prevent the return of these people who were evicted from their homes in the 1948 armed insurrection by the Zionists who were transplanted there from Eastern Europe, when that happens, the United States will trigger World War III. You say, when will that take place? The answer is, as soon as the difficulty between France and Algeria has been settled, that will take place. As soon as France and Algeria have settled their difficulties and the Arab world or the Muslim world has no more wars on their hands with France, they are going to move these people back into their homes. And when they do that, President Kennedy sends your son to fight over there to help the crooks hold on to what they stole from innocent men, women, and children. He will trigger World War III. And when that starts, you can be sure we cannot emerge from that war a victor. We are going to lose that war because there is not one nation in the world that will let one of their sons fight with us for such a cause. I know and speak to these ambassadors in Washington and at the United Nations, and of the 99 nations there, I've consulted with maybe 70 of them, and when we go to war in Palestine to help the thieves retain possession of what they have stolen from these innocent people, we're not going to have a man there to fight with us as our allies. And who will these people have supporting them to ask? Well, 4 days after President Kennedy, he was then Senator Kennedy, made that statement, on August 28, 1960, the Arab nations called a meeting in Lebanon, and there they decided to resurrect or reactivate the government of Palestine, which has been dormant more or less since the 1948 armed insurrection by the Zionists. Not along that, they ordered the creation of a Palestinian army, and there are now drilling maybe 500,000 soldiers in that area of the world to lead these people back to their homes. With them, they have as their allies all the nations of what is termed the Bandung Conference group. That includes the Soviet Union, and every Soviet Union satellite, it includes Red China, it includes every independent country in Asia and Africa, all 80% of the world's total population. 80% of the world's population, all other size human beings on the face.
Okay, just want to let you hear a little bit of Benjamin Friedman. Now that I let you hear that, I want you to hear him say this. Very important. That was a more of an intro of who he is, how he stands. Now watch this. This is the same Benjamin Friedman talking about the people called the Khazar Jews. You got to hear this, folks. This is very important.
Now any judge, when he charges a jury, says, gentlemen, any witness that you find has told a single lie, you can disregard all his testimony. That is correct. I don't know from what state you come, but in New York State, that is the way the judge addresses a jury. If that witness said one lie, disregard his testimony. Now, what are the facts? The Jews, I call them Jews to you because they're known as Jews. I don't call them Jews. I refer to them as so-called Jews because I know what they are. If Jesus was a Jew, there isn't a Jew in the world today. And if those people are Jews, certainly our Lord and Savior was not one of them. And I can prove that. The Eastern European Jews, who form 92% of the world's population, of those people who call themselves Jews, were originally Khazars. They were a warlike tribe that lived deep in the heart of Asia. And they were so warlike that even the Asiatics drove them out of Asia into Eastern Europe. And to reduce this, so you don't get too confused about the history of Eastern Europe, they set up this big Khazar kingdom, 800,000 square miles. Only there was no Russia, there were no other countries, and the Khazar kingdom was the biggest country in all Europe. So big and so powerful that when the other monarchs wanted to go to war, the Khazars would loan them 40,000 soldiers. That's how big and powerful they were. Now, they were phallic worshippers. It's filthy. I don't want to go into the details of that now. It was their religion, the way it was the religion of many other pagans or barbarians elsewhere in the world. Now, the king became so disgusted with the degeneracy of his kingdom that he decided to adopt the so-called monotheistic faith, either Christianity, Islam, Muslim faith, or what is known today as Judaism, really Calvinism. So, by spinning a top, he said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he picked out so-called Judaism. And that became the state religion, and he sent down to the Talmudic schools of Tel Aviv and Sura, and brought up thousands of the rabbis with their teachings, and he opened up synagogues and schools in his kingdom of 800,000 people, 800,000 square miles, and maybe 10 to 20 million people, and they became what we call Jews. There wasn't one of them that ever had an ancestor that ever put a toe in the Holy Land, not alone in Old Testament history, but that's the time, the beginning of time. Not one of them. And yet they come to the Christians and they ask us to support their armed insurrection in Palestine by saying, well, you want to certainly help repatriate God's chosen people to their promised land, their ancestral homeland, Italy. We gave you one of our boys as your Lord Savior. You now go to church on Sunday and kneel, and you worship a Jew, and we assume, well, they were pagan Khazars who were converted just the same as the Irish. And it's just as ridiculous to call them people of the Holy Land as it would be there are 54 million Chinese Muslims. 54 million. And Muhammad only died in 620 AD, so in that time, 54 million Chinese have accepted Islam as their religious belief. Now imagine in China, 2,000 miles away from Arabia, where the city of Mecca is located, where Muhammad was born, imagine if the 54 million Chinese called themselves Arabs. Imagine. Why, you say they're lunatic. Any man that believes that those 54 million Chinese or Arabs must be crazy. All they did was adopt as a religious faith a belief that had its origin in Mecca, in Arabia. The same as the Irish. When the Irish became Christians, nobody dumped them in the ocean and imported from the Holy Land a new crop of inhabitants that were Christians, that Christian flesh and blood. They weren't different people. They were the same people, but they had accepted Christianity as their religious faith. Now these pagans, these Asiatics, these Turco-Finns, they were a Mongoloid race who were forced out of Asia into Eastern Europe, because their king took the faith, the Talmudic faith. They had no choice. Just the same as in Spain. If the king was Catholic, everybody had to be a Catholic. If not, you had to get out of Spain. So everybody, they lived on the land, just like the trees and the bushes. The human being belonged to the land under that feudal system. So they all became what we call today Jews. Now imagine how for the Christians, for the great Christian countries of the world to say, we are going to use our power, our prestige, to help repatriate God's chosen people to their ancestral homeland, their promised land. Now, could there be a bigger lie than that? Could there be a bigger lie than that? And because they control the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, the television, the book publishing business, they have the ministers in the pulpit, they have the politicians on the soapboxes talking the same language. So naturally, you believe black is white. If you heard it often enough, you wouldn't call black black anymore. You and nobody could blame you.
There you have it, Benjamin Friedman laying it out as to who the people are in the land. Let's continue this. Let's continue this next week. We'll do part two next week. So I just thank everybody for stopping by. I really do. And your time is valuable to me. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show on that note, and I will see y'all all on Tuesday night, late night. Don't forget, we're broadcasting midnight, late night. We've got a very interesting show lined up for you. I won't even tell you the topic yet, so just tune in. Keep looking at the show's description, especially on the day of. That's normally when I change it. And tune in, okay? Thanks. Please follow the show. It's very important you support. If you like the things that were said, support us by following the show. This is the new way to support us on Blog Talk Radio. Follow the show. Let's stay in touch. Get reminders sent to your email, to your cell phones. All right, we're not done with this subject. We got more to tell you about the people that call themselves Jews, proving, showing who exactly they are, and all due respect for them as human beings, okay? Shalom. Greetings. Shalom, and I'll talk to y'all next week on Tuesday, all right? But check out this song, all right? Thanks. This is something called the 12 Tribes, a group called the 12 Tribes.
From Genesis to Revelations, you can read in the pages, and you'll see black faces, the people in the book, yeah, they look like me. Change the faces and the color they took from me. Made from the purest of the rich dark mud. What color was he when it was all said and done? Tell me, what color would be the Israelite if he caught leprosy? His skin would turn white. Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned snow. Did it again and it went back to its natural tone. King Solomon said, I'm black, but I'm comely. Then what color would all of Solomon's sons be? Jesus went to a black Egypt to hide. How could that be done with blonde hair with blue eyes? Samson had seven locks. It talks about hair like wool, feet burnt like coal pots. Paul was mistaken for the Egyptian criminal. Could that be possible if he had a white visual? It's not about skin color, or close to that, it's just a fact. The people of the Bible are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Black hats and skull caps, black suits with white strings. The only thing they ain't black, the Israeli is from the land. But the Israelite is from Jacob, who was a man. They dwelt by the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, Gentiles, before they put on the mask of me, the seed of Japheth. What the heck? How could you be a Jew when your father is Ashkenaz? They met with a Muslim bishop and Israelite to determine what doctrine sounded the most right. The religion of the Jews chose the Kagan. They mixed it with the doctrine of pagan. They wrote their own Talmud, many books they finished, and they tried to say Hebrew was the European Yiddish. Today, they call themselves Jews. How bizarre. Yesterday, they were barbarians known as Khazars. God, hey God, yo, the only fake in this written in Revelation. You're the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2:9 to be exact. It's undisputable, the Israelites are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
What are the 12 tribes of Israel?
It's not about skin complexion. It's not about white or black or anything to that direction. Every man got flesh and bones and skin tones. The Israelites are black. I'm just making it known. The truth hurts, but there's no other way to say it. If you missed it, press stop, rewind the blade. If you understand it, come on, come on, fall in the rank. Yo, here comes the roll call. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali,